Oh, I thank the Lord. I have a little message I wanted to, of course, you probably that song about light. And just let her come on up here. Come on. You want to come? Come on. They won't mind seeing your pretty little face. There you go. We thank the Lord today. Thank the Lord for the light. You know, that's the thing that I heard one time, the lady preached with the baby. You know, God wants us to be a light to our families and send out a lot of love. So thank the Lord for that. We want to turn to St. Matthew. See, Mike, the Lord, it's just a message I know you've heard before, but it seemed like the Lord really impressed it. It's just a little message to share with you tonight about the light and the salt. And I looked up the light. She's okay. She's really okay. I don't think they mind. Oh, well, I don't know. I hate to tune it that way. She's sad. Bless her little heart. She hadn't seen me for quite a while. Anyway, it says here, I wrote this down. The light is to show the way by giving light. We show the light. We show the way to heaven by giving light. And I was thinking about, I know I've mentioned this before, but the light, when I met Jerry's grandmother, she was such a light to me. She was just a lighthouse, and her mother, his family, all but especially endeared myself to her. I got saved in her home, and she was a great light to me. I saw Jesus in her, and I remember when she got cataracts and at the end of her life, and she couldn't see very well, and we came in the back door sometimes there. She would be praying, sitting there praying. And I'd kind of catch her off guard, and she'd be praying. She was just a very godly, loving, she loved the Lord. That's all I can say about her. And that light that she had affected me. It affected me so much. I was 18 years old when I got saved. She spoke the words to me. I hope I don't cry. Unless the Lord wants me to, but I was a sinner, 18 years old, and she spoke the words to me as a sinner and said, "Is there something holding you back?" And I said, "Yes, I feel like something's trying to hold me back from salvation." And she said, you just resist that, honey, and you go in there and you pray. And, you know, I never forgot. She spoke to me as a sinner, and then she spoke to me as a Christian. After that, we were just like best friends. Here I was 18 and she was in her 70s. Didn't make no difference because the Spirit. She was a great light. And I was thinking about us tonight to be a light. The Lord wants us to be a light to our families and a light to the saints and a light to everyone we meet. And, you know, if we disappoint the Lord in any way, but sometimes when we disappoint people, we disappoint the Lord. You know, I mean, I don't want to disappoint the Lord. And so sometimes, you know, we get in situations where the Lord requires us to be humble or meek or apologize, whatever we need to do. It's you know, sometimes they look at Christians like, well, you're too humble or you're too meek or you're saying you're sorry when you don't even need to and all these things. But, you know, it's not so much that, but it's we don't want to disappoint the Lord. And we know if we work on ourselves and we ask God to help us to be a better light and that we are a light for Him. He wants us to be a lighthouse. He's a lighthouse, but He works through us. Jesus, it's not about us so much, but it's Jesus working through us to touch. Like the little song we sang, just to touch someone's heart, wherever we go, we may be a lighthouse to them, that Jesus can shine through us somehow. In this scripture, I looked up in the dictionary what light meant. Light is to show the way by giving light. Now I was thinking about, we know that. I mean, we know if we're in the woods or something, we need a flashlight. That light shows us the path. It's very wonderful if we're hiking or doing something and we need a light. It's so wonderful to have that flashlight, isn't it? It shows us the way on that path. Well, it's like that going to heaven. People are in darkness. People do not understand a lot that we understand. We are that lighthouse to them. We are that light to show them the path. And we may think, well, you know, we have this knowledge, we have this understanding, and it's a gift from God that He's given us, but it's a responsibility also that the Lord is calling us to be beacons of light to people that are in darkness, to lead them and show them the path. God, You've given me something, now I've got to share it with others to help them see the way. See the way to heaven. And so we want to read, and here in Matthew 5 it says, Jesus said, seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, these things I just read, these verses, if we would read them many times, you know, we cannot be this without Jesus. We just cannot be these verses without Jesus. We cannot be meek enough. We cannot be peacemakers enough. We cannot hunger and thirst after righteousness like we want to be without Jesus. It's not fleshly to do these things, but it's spiritual. But what more that we get closer to the Lord, He can help us to be more like Jesus, to be a light in our home, a light in the congregation, light wherever we go, the people that we meet out in the world, the sinners that we meet, to be a light to them everywhere we go. And it goes on to say, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now this salt, I want to study some of that more, but salt is something that preserves. And we actually preserve this world by being righteous. We do. Because the people that are saved, it preserves the world. If the world got so wicked, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, we're going to read that a little bit, but when Abraham was begging for Sodom and Gomorrah, it was because the righteous, it came down to 10, then it came down to less. But you know, the Lord said if there was 10 righteous, He wouldn't destroy it. I was thinking about the world today. We know there's lots of evil and wickedness, but because of the saints or the righteous people, the Lord is sparing the end of time. That's how much power there is in us being the salt of the earth. And what a responsibility that is in each one of our lives. You know, each one of our lives, like we, this morning was mentioned, you know, that it's when we come together and we worship the Lord, it's because of each one of us, our holy lives that we're living, not in ourselves, but in Christ. We come and the Holy Spirit comes down and blesses us. He's in our presence. He's with us. We do not have musical instruments. We do not have entertainment. But we have something far greater than that. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Lord. We have Jesus. And it says here, ye are the salt of the earth. I want to read over in Numbers 18 and 19. Like I said, this is the covenants that was in the Old Testament. The sacrifices they made was with salt. Salt is a preserving quality about it. But in this Numbers 18 and 19, it says, all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. I'm just thinking about the more of God working in our lives, the more the Lord, these scriptures, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, all these things, the more of that salt that we get in our life, the more light will come out of our life, and the more God will bless us. It's a covenant with God. The more power we'll have among us as we work on ourselves individually and be the light God wants us to be. Blessed, it's a covenant. There we read in Numbers, it's a covenant. I just thought that was just amazing to me, that God makes a covenant with us. When he sees we have the Holy Spirit, and yes, the Holy Spirit is an instant. We are sanctified, and the Lord sanctifies. I remember when I got sanctified, I know positively the night I got sanctified, and the Holy Spirit came, and I was sanctified. But since then, many years has passed. I've had to yield to the Holy Spirit. I've had to ask the Lord to forgive me sometimes. Not sin, but attitude or something. Or I wasn't meek enough. I wasn't humble enough. I wasn't just what the Lord was talking to my heart. I needed more salt. I needed that, and I asked the Lord to help me. I didn't lose the Holy Spirit because I didn't sin. But because the Lord wants us to yield to the Holy Spirit more. He wants us to see ourselves like Christ sees us. He wants to work on each one of us because we each one of us need the Lord. We need these things in our lives. And the more we have them, the more light shines out in our lives. And you know, it's a covenant. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. Oh, the Lord, he done so much for us. He died for us on Calvary. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us grace. He gives us all the things that we need to be an overcomer. You might say, well, I just can't be that. I can't be meek as the Lord wants me to be. I just can't do it. You can't do it on your own. But with God helping you, with the Holy Spirit helping you, you can do it. You can't do it. You can ask God, Lord, I'm having this trial right now. I'm having this test. And God, I can't come out. I do not have to yield to this. I can yield to the Holy Spirit. I don't have to yield to the whisperings of the enemy. But I can yield to your Spirit. What do you want me to do? You know, the happiest people in the world are those Christians that yield to these scriptures, because the more we do it, the more peace we have in our lives. Because when we are humble and we do what the Lord wants us to do, he will bring peace. Then he said, I will even make your enemies to be at peace with you. If you have any enemies, the Lord will make even them to be at peace with you. And we want peace. We want happiness. We want all those things. It all comes from letting the Lord have salt in our life. Salt, I also read there, says the salt. Persons of the finest, noblest character are the salt of the earth. We don't think of ourselves that way, in a way to lift up the flesh of our lives. But it's because Jesus has saved us. Why we're the finest, noblest people of our character in the earth is true. People that are not saved, they do not have the characters of these scriptures. They do not have that producing, that salt producing in them like the Christians have. Just don't have it. They might have a little bit of this or a little bit of that, but not like what a Christian has, because it has to be Jesus working in you. It has to be Christ. It has to be the Holy Spirit working in our life. To show the way by giving light. We want to show the way to people by giving this kind of light in our life. Lord, help us. Help us to be what you want us to be. I like to turn the scripture over here to Acts. And Acts 2:32-38. Has anyone ever asked you sometime, like, what church do you go to? Or, just ask you questions. And maybe they're really in darkness and they don't understand. But they're seeing something. And, it's not totally the way that we dress. Because sometimes, the men don't look that much different in the world. And many times they're asked questions. But they feel something, or they see the light. They see something, a glimpse. And they're in darkness, and they see that, and they want to know. I want to read over here in Acts 2:32. It says here that Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now when I was saying how that the light was coming through the preaching of Peter was preaching them, teaching them the light, and something pricked their heart. Now this is what seemed like the Lord brought to my mind, that we have to live in such a way that we touch people's hearts. It's got to get past something. It's got to get to that inward person. We got to live in such a way we can touch their heart, that something will touch their heart, and they got a hold of something there. See, when they heard that preaching, the gospel, they believed Jesus and all the scriptures it was teaching them. They believed. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those two things we must teach, we must practice and teach and preach right, and we do, right among the saints. You must repent of your sins, and you must be baptized, and you must receive the Holy Ghost. This is a foundation. We don't have any other foundation. We don't have any other foundation that we can direct them to the head of the Church of God down here on this earth. It's not there. It's Jesus is the head. He is the head. That's the only way that we can direct them. You must get saved. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized. You must ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit and sanctify your nature. You must, this is the gospel. This is the truth. This is what we have. And, it says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That is us. He was preaching, this is for everyone. The other day the Lord brought to my mind about Noah. God was thankful for Noah. When he repented that he had made man, he was ready to destroy all men. Except Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of that righteousness, or you might say because of that salt that that man had in his life, and because of his holiness and his righteousness and this all that he had in his life, preserved his family and caused us to have life. Because if Noah hadn't had that chance and he hadn't been saved in that ark, mankind would have been destroyed. There would have not been another generation of mankind. But God said, He sought Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now that is how important it is for us to have salt in our life, to have light in our life. It saved mankind because he was holy, because Noah was righteous. And you know the type of man he was, if you read about that, after the waters had abated and he went out, he sacrificed to the Lord. And the Lord said he smelled that sweet-smelling sever, that righteousness, that holiness. You know what he's looking at when he looks at you and I? He's looking at how much Jesus we have in us, how much holiness we have in us, how much light we have, how much salt. He's looking at that, and he's working with us, and that's what he loves us. He loves to see that. He works with that. And you know, when the sacrifice that Noah had, when the sweet-smelling sever went up to the Lord said, I do set my bow in the cloud, and that rainbow, and I will never destroy man again, except when the end of time comes. He said, there'll be summer, there'll be winter, there'll be fall, there'll be spring. Until the very end, it'll be forever gone. When the world is burned up, that'll be the end of it. But till that day, that things will continue. And I just set my promise in that rainbow. When you see that rainbow, you see that promise that I made. And it was all because that man had light and salt in his life. Oh, how important it is in us for us today. We may think, well, we have problems in this world, and we do. But I tell you one, get close to the Lord. Because you know what? God can move mountains. He answers prayer. He does miracles. He is our God. If God is on our side, who can be against us? You know, so just get close to the Lord, and the Lord will bless us. Oh, I thank the Lord for his blessings. I want to read over here in Mark 9, the 9th chapter of Mark. And it says here in the 41st verse, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Dear ones, I want to just think about that a little bit. You know, we're all human. We all need encouragement. We all are affected by things in our lives. We all have had great blessings. We've all had our problems. But dear ones, if we just will love each other and give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, you shall not lose. What's it say here? Let's read that. Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ. Because you belong to Christ, I love you. Because I see Jesus in you. Because I see the light of God in you, I love you. And I want to do something for you. Maybe it's just a cup of cold water. Maybe it's something else. But I want to do something. I'm affected. I want to do something. I remember sometimes with Jerry's grandparents, you know, they were in their 70s. And I was 18 when I got married. Jerry was 20. And we were young people. And, you know, but here our best friends was in their 70s. And it all sounds, that's the truth. We didn't have very many at that time, you know, up there, and they were just like our best friends. And, you know, we'd do things for them because a cup of cold water, we would maybe go out to eat with them for lunch on Sunday or do things with them. But it was because we saw Jesus. You know, people are affected. They're just, I want to bring this out like the Lord's talking to me, but they're affected when they see Christ. It touches them. And sometimes they'll do something for you. Why are you doing that for me? Well, I just want to do it for you. You know, just no special reason, day or, you know, I just want to do it. I'm affected. I love you. I want to do this for you. If I give you a cup of cold water, you know, God is looking just for that cup of water to drink in my name. Because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And I'll tell you one thing, I don't want anybody cast into the sea because of me. You know, I just don't want to be offended because I don't want to hurt anybody. But I'm just saying the scripture is trying to get us to understand how much God loves us. You know how that we need to be very careful because God loves us. He loves all of us. And it says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Now, I don't really believe, you know, I mean, people literally think that this is, you know, your literal hand, cut it off. Well, I guess it could be, but I always think that it's just things that we need to cut off sometimes in our lives. I'm going to take it that way, you know, that we can have power to keep our hands holy and clean and pure. And, you know, it says, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter all into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. This salt, the salt of grace, a grace, love, humbleness, meekness, forgiving, forbearing with one another, long-suffering, the salt that God wants to sprinkle in our souls, the grace of God that brings salvation. You know, it's wonderful. It's powerful. It can help us make it to heaven. I've mentioned this before. I've never forgot where Brother Austin Wilson preached. He was standing at Monarch. I can see him in my mind. He was standing there at Monarch preaching a message on grace. And he said, grace is, like he was using that song. And he said, grace is free as the air we breathe. And he mentioned that song, wasn't it? We may each have a full supply. And he said, you can take a deep breath and breathe this air, and there's plenty of air for everybody. We just breathe. We take it a little bit for granted. God forgive us. But, you know, we breathe this air. It keeps us living. And he said, grace is like that. You can each have a full supply of it. It never runs out. We can have all the salt we want. We just got to go to the Lord. He can give us that salt. I was thinking about, you know, a salt shaker. But if you take, you know, you wonder in this big world, how can we salt the world? How can we affect? I wonder the disciples when Jesus said, go preach the gospel to all the world. And they thought, how can we do it? Just us little, you know, but God sent the Holy Spirit and he blessed them and it went out and the gospel is powerful. But if you would sprinkle salt, if you went home and just poured salt in your hand and just threw it on the floor, if you got it messy, you have to sweep it up, but just threw it, it all would just go everywhere, wouldn't it? Have you ever spilled salt on the counter or something? Oh, it's kind of messy. But it just goes. It just, the little grains of salt, it just goes everywhere. That, huh? Yeah? It didn't taste the same. That's right. It doesn't taste the same. And I was thinking, you know, things that we have to salt. It just doesn't taste good without that salt. It's that way in our lives. Without the salt of Christ and Jesus working in our life, we're not gonna taste as good to people. We're not gonna work with people as good. We're not gonna, everything's not gonna work as good. But when we have Jesus working in us and that salt, it just does everything better for us. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord. We're not going to read all this, but I'm going to go over to Genesis just a little bit there. and the importance of holiness and righteousness. You know, Abraham drew near in the 23rd verse of the 18th chapter of Genesis and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within this city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" And the Lord goes on and says that he wouldn't. And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And then Abraham said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." So you see the humility there? "Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? He said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." He spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there." He said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And then it went on. But do you know what happened? Because there wasn't 10, the Lord did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the scripture the Lord brought to my mind. Power of righteousness. The power of holiness is like we mentioned about Noah. The power, we do not even maybe realize that. Lord, help us to realize the power it is in our lives. When we incorporate the Sermon on the Mount, when we incorporate the salt in our life, oh God, help us. And when we find ourselves short on any line, be humble enough to go to prayer in your secret closet and say, "God, help me to get that salt in my life. Help me, Lord, to be what you want me to be." Because it's going to affect people. It's going to affect other people. And you want people to be affected the right way. You want souls to be saved. And it all, it means a lot for each one of us. To God, help me. Help us to be what you want us to be. Help us to be righteous. Help us to be holy. Not because of ourselves, but because we want Jesus to shine. We want to send out that light. We want to send out the gospel light to everyone. And you know, it will bring us so much happiness. It will bring us so much happiness. The devil is to kill and destroy and to discourage. And that's all he's about. He's not for us at all. The enemy is against us. And we know that's true, but Jesus is for us. And so that's why he teaches us these scriptures. This is why we have the good Bible, the blessed Bible, to read and to learn and to and follow instruction and make it to heaven. And we thank the Lord for the word of God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his righteousness and holiness. Oh, we want to be what God wants us to be. We want to turn back just a little bit to Matthew 5 again. Oh, we want to ask God to help us to be the light. We saw light in others, and we want the Lord to help us to be a light. You know, there's something about a light that is just so wonderful. I know at home, the light, love light. I love where we live. Sometimes we have trouble with the electricity in the winter because of where we're connected with Cimarron electricity there. And sometimes the lights will go out for a while. Electricity will go out. But I love to get my candles. And I get my candles and I find them in the dark. And I find my little handle there. Well, I don't know what to call it. But, you know, to light the candles. But I light several candles in the house. And then I can see. And it's such a wonderful thing. Oh, dear ones, it's so wonderful that we have Jesus in us, that we can be a light to this dark world out there. There's sinners, and people need a light. They need help. And we can show them the light. We can show them the way. We can be what God wants us to be in this world as long as we live. You know, I was thinking about it. I was telling Sister Juanita, I said, you know, Hezekiah, he prayed for 15 years. And 15 years, it was like, I figured out one time I wrote it in the Bible, but it's like over 50,000 days or something like that. It's many days. But you know, dear ones, it's just like us. Our life is made up of every day. Days. You know, we count it by years. Many times we do that. And it sounds so short. And it is short. But we have days. That's a lot of days, 15,000 days. Every day is our life. Every day we can have salt in our life. And every day we can be what Jesus wants us to be. Every day we can be a light to somebody. You know about that song? I think it's 181 in this blue book. But, you know, I was tossed and I saw the lighthouse. That's what we are to people. God wants us to be a light. It says there's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. Everybody that lives about us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. But you know, many times, just like with Grandma, God used her to work with me to connect me to Jesus. You see how important that is? You see how important that is for each one of us? We could be the connecting person to lead them to Jesus. The connecting person that could say a word of cheer, a light. That light that illuminated from her life did something to me. It just did something. It's never stopped. It's never ended. That light I saw in her. And that light has caused me to stay encouraged and keep pressing on. She went with me to make my wrongs right. We made everyone right. We worked on it one day when everyone went to all the places I had to go. I did not know I was supposed to do that. But Grandma said, yes, you got to go make your wrongs right. And I did. And when I got done, I bought a little plaque with Jesus standing behind the wheel. That was my memento that, oh, I got this done. But she was a light to me, teaching me. We can be that to somebody. We can be that lighthouse, leading them to Jesus. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would we be? All this scripture. I'm going to read it before I sit down. But ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Have you ever been on an airplane and coming into the city and you see all those lights? So beautiful, isn't it? You know, we're sitting on a hill. We cannot be hid. There is just no way that we can be hid. If we live for Jesus, we cannot be hid. That light cannot be hid. Let your light, it said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord wants to be glorified. And you know how he's going to be glorified? He wants to use you and I to be glorified. He wants us to be the salt of the world and the light. Pray for me, and I want to be a light.